Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 12, we're thinking of God's wonderful Word. And it says, for the Word of God, not just any word, but the Word of God is quick. The word quick means alive. So the Word of God is alive. It's not a dead, archaic book that needs to put on the back shelf of a library and gather dust. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It can discern what's really in our minds, what's down in our hearts, and reveal that to us. And we want to think tonight that on why we preach, teach, trust, and share the Word of God. We preach, teach, trust, share, and listen to the Word because it is the Word of God. We want to hear from heaven, and we listen to it. The Bible was written over a period of some 1,600 years on three different continents by in three different languages by some 40 different authors, and were from different walks of life. It has one theme from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, and that is the salvation, redemption of mankind. You see, there's hope for every one of us in all 66 books of the Bible. You think of the worth of the Bible. Without the Bible, there would not be any hope for a world of lost sinners. Think of the wealth of the Word. Without the Word of God, we would all be spiritually bankrupt. Then you think of the wisdom of the Word. Without the Bible, there would not be any knowledge of the future, what is going to happen. If the Lord coming for us, a beautiful heaven, we wouldn't have any of that. Listen, think of the work of the Word. Without the Word of God, the Holy Spirit could not work the knowledge of salvation in us. And we understand the little that we understand tonight because the Holy Spirit of God worked that in our hearts and lives, either from listening to it in a service like this or reading the Bible for ourselves. Then you think of the worship by the Word. John 4:24, Jesus speaking to the lady at the well, said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Excuse me. The Bible is God's written revelation of himself and revelation of his free salvation that is offered to all of mankind. God wrote it down so we would have it. We can see it. Then he gave us the Holy Spirit to interpret it to us and reveal it to us. Now, the Bible is preserved, protected, and presented to us by the Lord. It's all of the Lord. That's the reason we pray, precious Holy Spirit, come in our service tonight to make it live, to make it real to us. Touch hearts. I want him to touch my heart. You see, God speaks to us through the Word. Jesus said, search the Scripture, for in them ye think you have eternal life, and they are they, the Scripture are they, which testify of me. The only book that's going to tell us the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, is the Word of God. Assurance that one is saved comes through the Word of God, not our feelings at all. This is the eternal Word of God. Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away. Now this is his promise, that heaven and earth shall pass away. No question about it, it's going to pass away. But my words shall not pass away. That's his promise. This word will never pass away. This is one of the visible things that we have here tonight that will last throughout the endless eons of eternity. The Word of God and you, Christians, forever. the question is asked, is the Bible really the Word of God? Can we trust it? It's been translated so much. Well, listen, that question does not weaken the Word of God. The question reveals a lack of faith or being unlearned in Scripture of the one who doubts it. God keeps His Word. That's the reason we can trust it tonight. Not because we trust the people who translated it, not at all. Now, I'm sure they were great people, good people, but listen, God keeps His Word. The Scripture is breathed out by God. Scripture had its origin in God. The miracle of Scripture came directly from God. God did not breathe on words that men wrote. God breathed the words that men wrote, and that is very precious, worth knowing. Listen, 2 Timothy 3:16 teaches us that all Scripture, that we understand, that which we do not understand. Much in the Bible we do not understand. It's not time to understand it. God will reveal it in time, in His time, and when we need it. But in all Scriptures given by inspiration of God, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, and, listen, in righteousness. The inspiration simply means that it's divinely breathed. It's given by inspiration of God. Inspiration comes from two words. One is theos, which means God, and the other one means to breathe. So you put the two words together, and you have God breathe. So inspiration is God's supernatural influence on the prophets, the apostles, or other sacred writers, by which they were qualified to communicate truth without error to us. And we have it tonight. All because God has kept it sacred. The writers were moved by the Holy Spirit operating on and through their natural faculties. They were moved. Listen, have you ever been moved by God? Maybe you were studying for something and all of a sudden, man, it just flooded you. And you got it, you couldn't get it down fast enough. Listen, we believe in a verbal, plenary, inspired Bible. Let me say, verbal, that has to do with words. Plenary means complete. So here, we believe in the complete Word of God that He inspired. We have it tonight. God did that. Now, David gave a testimony that the Scripture came from God. This is 2 Samuel 23:2. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. David said, I was speaking the word that God put in my tongue. His tongue spoke the word that God gave to him. In Mark, the 12th chapter, verse 36, Jesus quoted David. Listen to it. For David himself said, by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies my footstool. So God the Father said, David, that didn't come from David, but he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write that down. It was the Holy Spirit who supernaturally influenced David to write the words that God gave unto him. In Acts, the first chapter, verse 16, Peter quoted David. He said, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost spake by the mouth of David. He spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. The words that he spoke, listen, that David spoke, was given to him by the Holy Spirit. It's a quote of Psalm 41:9. Listen, yea, mine own familiar friend. This is Jesus talking about, David writing it down, but it's talking about Judas, and he's writing down what Jesus is saying, going to say. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread hath lifted up his heel against me. And that's a prophecy of Judas. Isaiah recorded the words that the Holy Spirit gave to him. See, through the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, God gave the words. Acts 28:25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed, Paul and Silas. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Here's what Paul said. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah, the prophet unto our fathers. So Isaiah was speaking the word of God. God spoke through him. Paul gave testimony that the words he recorded came from God. Listen, Galatians, the first chapter, verses 11 and 12. He said, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. The gospel that I preached didn't come from a man. Listen, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. Some man didn't teach me. It came to me by the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is so good. God supernaturally revealed his word to the Apostle Paul. But God will not do anything for the Apostle Paul that he will not do for us. Now, he's not going to give us words in addition to the Scripture, but he will open up the Scripture and reveal it to us. And Paul said he received it. Receive means to learn. And Paul did not learn what he spoke from man or the rabbinical schools of that day. But it came by revelation. It was revealed to Paul by the Holy Spirit. And if we will apply ourselves to this Bible, the Holy Spirit will reveal it to us. Listen, you do not go to some seminary to learn the Word of God. Now, they teach all kind of things. Some of it is good. It needs to be. But that's not the way you understand spiritual things. We get in the Word of God, and it reveals, the Holy Spirit reveals the truth of God's Word. And we need a revelation of the completely written Word of God. We do not need a revelation in addition to the written Word of God. And I like to emphasize that because there are those that teach, well, what they had is equal with the Scripture. It is not. You see, we believe in the verbal, plenary, inspired Word of God. People will hold on to some religious token, supposedly blessed by a religious charlatan, as though it was of divine origin, believing it would help them through the pearly gates. Think about it. An example is prayer calls, kissing the Pope's ring, or kissing his toe. I was in a meeting, and they had a man that came to the meeting. His wife came to church. He didn't. He had been a Marine for many years, and a good one, and I really appreciated knowing him and appreciated what he did in the service and all. But he said, I don't want to die. He said, I'm not afraid of anything, anybody. And I believed him. He said, but I'm afraid to die. He said, I don't know. He said, I've kissed the Pope's toe. But he said, I'm still afraid to die. You see, that will not help us. But what will help us is this word by a good Bible teacher, a preacher that'll preach the book, or you read this at home or wherever. And God can reveal it. You see, we have the Holy Bible, which is God's written and inspired and revealed Word. It is of divine origin, and it is a sure testimony. 1 Thessalonians 2 chapter verse 13, Paul wrote, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye receive the Word of God, which ye heard of us. Now, those words stood out to me. Which ye heard of us. Maybe when we hope that when people come here, they leave, they say the Word of God. We heard the Word of God down there. The Word of God, ye received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth,
the word of God. Now this is, which effectually worketh also in you that believe.
So may people hear the word when they come to this church. Peter attributed the words he wrote as coming from God. 2 Peter, the first chapter, verses 19 through 21, says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. We have a more stable word of prophecy wherein you do well that you take heed. You'll do well if you listen to this, take heed to it, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. We're in a dark place. The word's the light that shineth until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. I think that we need to stay with this book as long as we're down here, because one day the day star is going to arise, and this Bible will carry us through this darkness. Now, knowing this first, this is first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. The understanding of the Bible is not one man's opinion. Not at all. Listen, the Holy Spirit interprets it for us. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved, as they were borne along, as they were carried by the Holy Ghost. They were men set aside for this purpose, to write down the Word of God. Now, we preach the Bible because we are commanded to preach it. Listen, the preacher is not called to deliver a motivational speech on self-esteem or positive thinking. I guess all that has its place, but the preacher is called to preach, to herald forth the Word of God. And Jesus preached the Word. That's what he did. John 17:8, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. You speak, pray unto his heavenly Father. And there were three results, and they have received them. The people received them. And number two, and have known surely. They had assurance. They knew surely that I came out from thee. And number three, they have believed that thou didst send me. So the Word of God is working. That's what Jesus preached. And without God's Word, we would not know who Jesus is. Without His Word, we would never know that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And then John 17:14, Jesus said, I've given them thy Word. Now we ask, what did Jesus give? Well, He gave us God's perfect Word. Isn't that great? He gave us God's Word. And the world hath hated them. Now that's the result of Jesus giving us His Word. The world of people hated Him, and is going to hate us. He said, because they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. We're not of the world. We're here. We're in it, but we're not of it. Because we've been delivered. We've been saved. We've been redeemed. We have another heart. We have a vision beyond this world. Now, Paul instructed us to preach the Word. 2 Timothy 4:2. That's a great verse. He says, preach the Word. Preach the Word. Why, Paul? Well, one thing, when the Word is rightly divided, it's an encourager. And we all need that every day. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Now, how do we rebuke? By the Word of God. We preach the Word, and it will do the rebuking. God didn't call me around to rebuke people, no, but to preach the Word. I know of a church in this area. Man, they had something going on, a great thing that came down through the pipe. They were all doing, but what they were doing, they're going around rebuking people. You know, they tell people what's wrong with them. You wouldn't even have to work at that to find something wrong with me. But the thing is, one rebuking another is not going to help us. See, I can't do much rebuking because it would be right on me. And you look guilty too. But listen, Titus 1:3, but have in due
time, the right time, manifested His Word through preaching.
Now, how did God manifest His Word? Well, in this verse, it said through preaching. Preaching is necessary. We're talking about Bible preaching. We're not talking about just making a noise, but Bible preaching. manifest His Word through preaching. And then Paul said, which is committed unto me, according to the commandment of God our Savior. God committed it to me by the authority of Him. It's committed. It's entrusted to me. Listen, we could say of this church tonight that God has entrusted His Word to us. He has committed also means we entrust our spiritual well-being to Christ. We are put in trust with the Bible. Think about it. What an awesome responsibility we have. We've been put in trust with the Word of God. We are obligated to send it around the world to every nook and corner, every metropolis, every village, every hamlet, and every jungle. We are to do what we can to put it out there. And thank God for missionaries. I say, let's send more missionaries. We are privileged to have the words of eternal life. However, with this great privilege comes an awesome responsibility to make Jesus known to this world of people who live in spiritual darkness. Now, since God gave us His Word, on which He placed so great a value, and manifested through preaching, we all should make ourselves available to hear it, listen to it, heed it, obey it, and share it. The Holy Spirit uses the preached word to convict and convert a person. So don't fall out with preaching. Don't be angry with preaching. God reveals His Word of truth through preaching. So be sure to attend the church where the Word of God is preached, taught, trusted, lived, and shared. Now, possibly, I should close with a warning. Reading the Bible is habit-forming. You start reading the Bible, it can become very habit-forming. And reading it daily will cause a loss of anxiety. There will be a decreased appetite for lying, cheating, stealing, and hating. And then the symptoms of this habit is increased peace, joy, compassion, and love for our fellow man. Listen, God has given us a wonderful word. Let's put it in our hearts. Let's hide it in our souls and share it every opportunity we have. We must never minimize a witness that we give. Don't think it's not important. We do not know. You give out a tract, just a short little witness. You can tell a person Jesus loves you. If it's no more than that, that's enough. The Holy Spirit can do it. We cannot do it. We can't do it by preaching a sermon. But the Holy Spirit can take one word. I told you about the fellow who was a Muslim. He was teaching others how to be radical in it. And how to be terrorists. And there was a Christian in the area. This happened in Lebanon. Christians were in the area. And this one fellow came to it and witnessed to him. He didn't want to hear that. Not at all. I mean, he's down there teaching those people how to hate Americans and hate Jews. And one day, the Christian gave him a Bible. He took the Bible. He threw it on the ground. And the Christian left, well, curiosity got him. So he went, picked up the Bible by looking, and took it home with him. And of course, he didn't just lay it down. He had to read something in it. So he turned it up. He told me, he said, brother, three words, love your enemies. Who would think that was a witness? Love your enemies. He said, my book don't tell me to love my enemies. It tells me to hate them, to kill them. Love your enemy. He couldn't shake it. He couldn't get away from it. And he didn't get saved then. But the Christian invited him to church then. And finally, he consented to go. And he did. And there the preacher was preaching. And he understood. And that night he received Christ. Phyllis and I met him here in town. And it was such a wonderful thing to see a man who was teaching people to hate and kill who came to Christ. Three words, love your enemies. I told him, I said, brother, listen. Years ago, I knew a man, and I heard a man in New Orleans, a preacher from Lebanon. And I called his name. He said, he won me to Christ through preaching. He said, he's an old man. I said, yes, he's an old man. I said, I'm an old man. He's older than I am, so I know that he's an old man. But there it was. Three words is all it took for the Holy Spirit to save that soul. Amen.